It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites against the Packers this weekend, and I'm excited to see how they manage to mess it up.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, February 20th, and we are so excited for our first ever Jenkins and Jones spectacular Love is Blind recap episode. With new episodes on the way tomorrow, we had to squeeze this one in. We will have these recaps for you after each new episode drop, and we are also looking forward to having the homie Mina Kimes back on to talk about all of our favorite reality TV show. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by the number one Love is Blind super fan anywhere in the world, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? I might be number two to Mina. Mina be on her shit, man.
Tyler, but hold your notes up real quick. Just show everyone. Tyler's got handwritten notes. Hey, we're fucking
handwritten.
Ready to go.
Like, I took this shit back to college, dog. I haven't not written a note in my phone since goddamn 2012. You feel me? So.
That shit is college ruled right there. We are ready to go.
Everyone on the show has a little notebook with their name on it for taking notes. Tyler should get one from Netflix, I feel like. This is SpawnCon.
That'd be fire. As hell.
That's a fact. We've also got LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's that, Bubbas?
We've got Jackson Saffron, a.k.a. Jackson Saffron.
What's up?
I'm Cardi B, a.k.a. Mike, and I'm going last because I am the one of the four of us who's behind. Yeah, you got it in. Okay, I'm the one of the four of us who's behind, but I'm very excited to have you guys launch me into Love is Blind super fandom. So Tyler, take it away, my brother.
Yes. So for those who aren't familiar, who might just be listening, Love is Blind is a reality show. This is the sixth season. The premise is this. It is a group of dudes, a group of women who have decided to blindly fall in love and get married over the course of a few weeks. The first stage of the show is they are talking in pods, getting to know each other. From there, you know, connections are formed, hearts are broken, And we get couples who agree to actually get married. Like, there's proposals and the whole thing. And there's actual, you know, face-to-face reveals. And then from there, they go on a vacation where they spend some more time together. And then they go home and spend some time together. And then comes the wedding day where we decide where we see who decides to get married. Who actually?
How long is that time period from meeting to wedding day?
It can't be that long. Maybe a month or 6 weeks or so, it feels.
That's the magic of reality show editing, though, John. We don't, like, you know, everything exists inside the TV. We don't know.
I thought they gave us the time period, but I just don't remember.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. So basically, we're at the stage now where we have the couples who have agreed to marry each other, the engaged couples. They've done the vacation. And the next batch of episodes that are dropping Wednesday is going to be them going back home and kind of, you know, actually living in the real world with it. So we have five couples who have agreed to marry each other, who are engaged. I've got my descriptors here because I'm terrible with fucking names, right? Okay, so first couple is Chelsea and Jimmy. The descriptor I have here for Chelsea is Megan Fox with like 20 question marks.
Megan Foe and Doug Funny. Yeah. Somebody called it Peyton Manning too. Right. Somebody called it Peyton Manning. Either or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Doug Funny is also the descriptor that I have written down here for him. Then we have Jeremy and Laura. Okay, the descriptor I have for Jeremy is the jokester. He's the guy who was cracking all the jokes all the time. And Laura was the bean dip titty slap lady. We'll get back to that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Johnny and Amy, who just, there's no drama between them at all. That is the blonde haired dude and the Latina woman. And everything's great with them.
They're just so sweet.
Yeah. They're perfect together. And I think that, you know, things look great for them. But, you know, unfortunately, that doesn't make for good television. We are here for
the mess. I don't remember them at all.
Yeah. Because there's no drama with them. Right. Perfect.
It's the guy with like the long hair and he wears hair up in like a man bun a little bit.
He looks like every MLB player
ever. He's a redhead, isn't he?
I think he's blonde.
Yeah, he's like a strawberry blonde. But the blonde haired dude and the Latina woman. And then
he's a dirty blonde.
And then we have Kenneth and Brittany. Kenneth, I have as to keep me straight on him, I have 8-Ball and MJG because that dude looks like both 8-Ball and MJG at the same time.
Nigga. For right? sure.
And Brittany, I just have white girl because, you know, that's kind of just what she is. And then we have but that's a big part of their relationship dynamic, and we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've got Clay and AD, and, you know, I always keep black people's names straight, so I didn't really need a description, you know, for them. But for AD, I do have yams in the parentheses, and if you
oh,
watch,
brother.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay.
Two helpings of that, you hear me?
And there's also a few supporting cast characters here. We have Jessica, have EpiPen as her descriptor. We have Trevor, Wreck-It Ralph, and we've got Matthew, who's like Patrick Bateman. Patrick Bateman was basically the character who Christian Bale played in American Psycho, and we'll discuss him as well. So
I got a question for Jackson. Is Trevor the one you said was, you know, had a little bit of Neanderthal in him?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. He seems like
a really nice guy, but yeah, he's hard to go. Really slow, and he's like got one of those, he's very like oafy. He's got the
jaw we talked about. Yeah, you know what I mean? Very boxy head, you know?
Very boxy. He's super, he seems super nice, though.
Yeah.
Super hard, nice.
Heart of gold on that caveman right there.
For sure.
The first order of business on the rundown here. Let's get to it. Megan Fox?
Really?
Megan Fox. Okay, so. So for the people who didn't see, this was the couple, Chelsea and Jimmy. Jimmy's the Doug Funny face, and like I said, Chelsea was Megan Foe. So they were having a discussion where, you know, who was your celebrity lookalike was the topic they were talking about.
And the key point here, she brought it up. She goes, do you have any celebrity lookalikes? Knowing she's getting this question.
Manipulation.
Yes. And so Chelsea goes, well, you know, I hear this all the time, but I don't agree with it. What's her name? MGK's fiance. Just stringing us along. Who the fuck calls Megan Fox MGK's fiance? She's way more famous than that motherfucker, right?
Who remembers MGK and not Megan Fox? Right, you know what I mean? Like, shut the hell up.
And she says, Megan and the dude has a moment where he's like, his face just lights the fuck up, and he's like, Megan Fox, you look like Megan Fox. And dog, we knew she didn't look. Let me tell you, I have admitted before, I am white woman face blind, right? Plenty of times I admitted that. But I feel like Megan Fox is one of the like eight white celebrities who I know what they look like. One of the eight white actresses who I know what they look like.
I want a public notary stamp that what Tyler is talking about is not regular face blindness, but an actual medical condition. Tyler, Tyler, sincerely, bro. If you lined up the 100 most famous white people on planet Earth, listen. And Tyler knows everything. Tyler could tell you what month 20 years ago an album came out.
Like, listen, bro. Listen, I know the names. I know the accomplishments. Like, I know Jessica Biel by name. I know she's married to Justin Timberlake. If she was in my living room right now, I would call the cops on that strange white woman. Who is this in my house? You know what I'm saying? I just do not know what famous white woman really looked like for some reason. But
Low-key, Char has the same issue in our real life also. But.
Yeah. Dude, I have the same issue. Bro, I think that's most like, black people. Yeah, she said Megan Fox. We don't know what's going on. Go ahead.
Hey, we might do a Name That White Woman game show segment on this shit. We just pull up some slides.
We gotta bring it back.
We might have to. But bro, when she said that, me and my wife, bro, I paused that shit and we were both like Megan Fox and we Googled because we thought we were tripping, right? Like she lied so bad that she made us question our reality for a second, and we were like, dog, this is not fucking Megan Fox. So I want to know how y'all feel, because I feel like, you know, Chelsea knew that she was going up against Jessica Batty, right? She knew that she kind of had to tip the scales a bit to her favor, the premise being no one knows what each other looked like. I felt like she cheated the game a bit right there with that lie, because I do feel like that changed everything. I do feel like that shifted shit a bit.
I feel, okay, just as from a personal experience, we talked about the first part being slow. I was 45 seconds from lying to y'all and saying I actually watched. She said that shit, it shifted the show from one side to the absolute other. I'm like, oh, this is where we at with it. So I don't know what her reasoning was, but thank you. You feel me? Thank you. You made the show so much more fucking interesting. But yes, she was being manipulative. I don't think it was because she was going up against a baddie because they couldn't see each other. You know what I mean? He doesn't know the old girl's a baddie. I think she just wasn't as confident in, her personality. And she was like, I really like him. I'm a drop the big joker. You know what I mean? I'm Megan Fox. I'm going to fucking lie in front of the world to get what I want. I'm not mad at it being I don't give a fuck about her. And nigga, I have no interactions with Megan Foe. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't affect me. I think she's great for it. But yes, she was definitely manipulating the game. You know what I'm saying? She was cheating, bro. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you do. We talked about his face. You talked about his face, bro, when he did it. His face, bro, he looked. Bro, his soul got a boner, bro. You know what I mean? Like, he was so. He grabbed what was left of his hairline. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, my God.
He grabbed it from way back here.
Right. He grabbed the back of his head like, oh, my God. Megan Fox, that was a decision maker right there, bro.
I don't know if this was a thing, if anyone has ever told you this, but my dad when I was a kid was like, it's impossible for you to sneeze with your eyes open because your eyes will pop out of your head. That's what his eyes looked like. It looked like his eyes had popped out of his eye sockets. He was like,
Looney Tunes. You know what I'm saying?
Did you see she released a statement on TikTok?
No, but what'd she say?
Because obviously social media had a great time. She posted a TikTok and said, so she was like fake laughing about it, right? Like, oh, I'm not mad. You're not hurting my feelings with the hundreds of thousands of jokes about how.
They said she looked like Patrick Starr, but go ahead.
Yeah. She said, quote, this would be a great time for the people who have ever told me that I resembled her to come forward. Please, I'm begging you. And we are still waiting.
Ain't nobody gonna save you, dog. Ain't nobody. And the wild shit is, even the people who are defending her are like dragging the fuck out of her. They're like, yeah, she looked like Megan Fox. It's just this strong ass gargantuan Easter Island chin that she got. That's the only difference. Like, dog, come on. What are we doing, man?
Bro. If it wasn't for the fucking titanium jaw you got, you look just like.
Bro, I swear to God, when she said that, I said, Megan Fox, I said, this beat look like Stonehenge, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was high as hell. Me and Rather went in for 20 minutes. Nothing was, you know what I'm saying? Nothing we could really repeat. It was great. It was great television.
Personally, to me, she looks like Joe from Family Guy, homie in a wheelchair. But But moving on to, and the irony here is Jessica, who we introduced as EpiPen, and we're going to touch on that right now. She resembles Megan Fox way more than Chelsea did. And Chelsea and Jimmy chose each other. Jimmy was kind of in a love triangle, trying to, you know, choosing between Chelsea or Jessica, and he basically let Jessica know that, you know, I'm not going to go with you. You know, we're going to have to call it quits. And Jessica just gave us a fucking speech for the ages, bro. She showed up in that little tight black dress, you know.
Dressed like she was going to a funeral, my boy.
Right.
With you know what I'm saying? Inch
stilettos on. And she told that motherfucker, you know, when you see me, you are going to choke. You are going to need your EpiPen to open your airways. And at that moment right there, I was like, Jessica, you might have a stand in your boy. I am a fan right now. Hey, that is some like Game of Thrones level writing. Like your joy is going to turn into ashes in your mouth type shit.
Everybody was telling her to just go home. She was like, no, I'm standing tall. I'm going to face the shit. Came in that motherfucker dressing like a mob wife. Like she going to a mob's funeral. You know what I'm saying? And then she told a nigga, you gonna need an EpiPen. You gonna need medicine to keep yourself alive when you see what you fuck you chose over me. Oh my God. I'm like, bro, I told you, bro. I ain't looked at a white woman and said she bad since 2008. I looked at Rather like, that might be some, she might be the one. You feel me? Hey, you feel me? Hey, that was beautiful. And in the episode before that, when she got to telling him what time it was, I'm like, oh, yes, Miss White Lady, do your thing. Let that nigga know you ain't for the motherfucking gangs. Mm-hmm. Yes, I stand for sure. Yeah, hey, and we saw the previous episode, the next episodes, how he acted. Yeah, he fucked up. Big fucked up. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, this goes back to how I feel like, you know, Chelsea rigged the game a bit with that Megan Fox shit, because Jessica has a bit of a rough upbringing. She was very transparent about that, right?
Yeah.
Like, horrible. She's 28. She has a 10-year-old child. She grew up in foster care because her father died by suicide. And so, you know, you're on the other side of that. And
parents
thinking,
were drug addicts.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. Right? And you're on the other side of that. You have no idea what these women look like. And then, you know, you've got this woman who, you know, has a lot that she's dealing with, but she's transparent with it and honest with it, which counts for a lot with me. You know what
and
I'm saying?
And expects transparency and honesty.
Yes, yes.
She's not, you know what I'm saying?
That was another thing. She was like, I'm a direct communicator. Communicate directly with me. And I love that about her. And then you got this easy breezy flight attendant who looks like Megan Fox on the other end in your mind, right? Like, you know, I see why he picked her. And like I said, I think that Chelsea gamed the system a bit with that one, bro.
I was wondering... Probably because I saw them, you know what I mean? But I won't say it's just that, because when I first saw, when Chelsea was first in the pods, I'm like, she got the best personality in this motherfucker.
Yes.
I thought, I was like, oh, she cool, she fire, you know what I mean? It started leaning a little another way after the lie and all that. I guess when her emotions were getting involved, you could see it leaning another way. And I thought like, you know, old girl's personality was fire, you know what I mean? Was it Jessica?
I thought
her still don't know her name. I know she bad though.
You can call but, her EpiPen. It's okay.
EpiPen. Yeah. I thought her personality was fire. So in the end, I think like, I don't know if it's me being able to see, but like, I don't feel that way because I felt opposite initially. But her personality, if they're next to each other, I feel like she got a fire ass personality too. And he was a person, he doesn't fuck with directness. You know what I mean? He said it made him uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, bro, like, yeah, she definitely gamed the system with that. Because even with personality wise, as it went on, it seemed like her personality was top tier as well.
I really thought it was all kind of lining up to have all the matches seem right. It felt like Chelsea and Trevor were getting along so well. And I thought she was going to pick Trevor. And I thought Jimmy was going to end up with Jessica.
Same way.
Then Chelsea picked the wrong person, and Jimmy picked each other incorrectly.
The thing is, neither of them deserved each other, though. So it ended up right. Not right in the way you thought, but like, you know what I'm saying? Chelsea over here lying, you know what I'm saying? Trevor's a really solid dude, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, bro, Jimmy ain't deserve EpiPen. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Neutron head-ass motherfucker. He didn't deserve fucking EpiPen. You feel me? So I'm glad it didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. For Trevor's, I mean, Trevor liked her, Trevor wanted it to happen, but us knowing the other side, we knew that man was he too solid. He don't need a motherfucker out here doing that type shit. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah. So you know, moving on to Trevor, Wreck-It Ralph. I want to say I was wrong about this dude, bro. Because, you know, during his introduction, he came out and said, you know, people see me, I'm a big swole guy, they get the wrong opinion about me. And I feel like people who say people get the wrong opinion about me, you just don't realize you're an asshole 99% of the time when someone says that, right? But Trevor was a really solid dude, bro. He won me over, man. And you know, going back to what you said, John, I think that him and Chelsea had a really great connection personality wise. Mm-hmm. I for one do not see what the big deal about Jimmy was, bro. Like, I did not see anything, you know, electric or fascinating about his personality at all. I do not know how he was juggling Jessica and Chelsea, and they were just, you know, tooth and nail fighting over him. I didn't get that. I thought Trevor and Chelsea were a really good pit. They both had personalities that clicked together well. And what really killed me is, you know, Trevor had set it up for him and Chelsea to get those bracelets where if you tap it, the other person knows that you're thinking about them. Mm-hmm. And on the day when Chelsea broke it off of him, like, he went into the booth before she told him that she was breaking off with him. And he was like, you know, I've been thinking about you all day. I tapped the bracelet like 100 times. She didn't even have the bracelet on because she had agreed to marry Jimmy. And I was like, oh, I fell for my dude in that moment, man. Right, he's a really solid dude. And he deserved better. And he's going to get better. Right. Like, that's the thing about Love is Blind is, you know, people see these people who whiff and miss out on love. And those Instagram DMs going to be popping.
Them DMs going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Trevor's going to be just fine. I promise you that.
But yeah, he was. I think the thing with Jimmy was the way that the women talked about Jimmy when they saw Jimmy was that Jimmy sounds totally different from how he looked. Where they were like, I thought he was taller. I thought this and that. His voice, he has a deep voice. You know what I mean? And so they weren't shitting on him because they was on camera. But we know, and what was one thing was interesting too was at the honeymoon, how the dudes were all like, yeah, you know, she's great and all this shit. And the woman we're talking about, dick size. We got it fucked up, nigga.
That was crazy, bro.
I'm like, but I don't think that's abnormal. Because Rather was like, yeah, that's how we talk. The fuck? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Y'all can pretend all here, nigga. I am smart. I don't have to pretend to be smart, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And so, dog, I love that. I love seeing that. But yeah, man, like, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, he deserved better for sure. He was solid as hell. I thought personality-wise, they clicked better as well. But yeah, G, like I'm glad he ain't got to waste his time with that. You know what I mean? It can move on to them Instagram DMs and at least when we waste some time, that shit going to be a little fun. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, and also when he first said that shit, I'm like, nigga, you are what you say you think niggas think you are. Hey, what the fuck? I'm looking at you. You are that. But yes, as you got this, I'm like, oh, I see how people can say he come off as like a big meathead, but he's not. He's the exact opposite of that. He's very sincere. He was very vulnerable and open about his feelings. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? And I fuck with him, bro. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, I told you, bro. He's Wreck-It Ralph, the dude we thought was a villain, but was actually a good dude, man.
Right, right, right.
All right, so moving along. You know, this couple would have been who we led off with, being that they're like the only black couple. You know, we're always rooting for everyone black here. But that Megan Fox bombshell, we had to lead off with that one, Bubba.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every time I buy tickets, it's a weird pick-your-own-adventure experience with a bunch of hidden fees and I never know what I'm going to spend. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you.
I'm looking at the Game Time app right now. The Wizards have quite a few home games that I'm interested in coming up. They've got the Phoenix Suns visiting in February. They've got the Celtics coming there a couple weeks after that. You know, Game Time offers last minute ticket deals, zone deals. It's easy to find and buy tickets of every kind of event in your area. You can view all the seats in your venue. I'm very much interested in the Hennessy Suites that they have going on at the Wizards home arena. So definitely interested in investigating that a little bit more with this app.
Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total upfront, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. And with zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code JNJ for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code JANDJ for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Clay and AD. So the background story with them. Clay is a dude who is, he's an entrepreneur. I think he's in real estate or something like that. AD is a realtor, was, you know, a cheerleader as well. Probably was cheerleading for the Panthers, being that she's in Charlotte and all that. And basically, you know, AD, I love AD. I really like her personality and her looks. A baddie, as we mentioned again. And, you know, she had a line there where you know, she was like, you know, I have dealt with terrible men all my life. I realize that. I realize that my selection has been a reason for a lot of my woes. She's like, I'm not someone who runs from red flags. I paint my nails red to match when I see it.
Y'all like, hey, that's fun. That was a bar, dude. That was a bar.
But before Clay and AD kind of linked up and agreed to each other, there was another guy in the picture, Matthew, the dude who I call Patrick Bateman, American Psycho.
The robot, nigga.
Yes,
Hiya, Matthew. How are you doing?
Yeah, fuck that guy. Basically, this dude came in, and he just had a spreadsheet of, like, fucking questions that he was asking these girls, right? And he was like, pick a number, and, you know, I'll ask you a question.
Dry as fuck.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the girls would pick numbers and answer them, and he would just give them some dry-ass answers. And he was not a hit with a lot of the ladies, but AD got him to open up a bit, right?
AD's got, she's
a charmer. She's a flirt. She knows what she's doing out there. She's a vixen of sorts. And she got him to open up. And there was a moment where I was like, bro, I might have been wrong about Matthew. I'm low-key rooting for
Am I rooting for a white man?
Right?
Like, I was low-key. Because Clay seemed like a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the type that she was trying to get away from. You feel me?
Exactly. Clay seemed like everything that she said was wrong with the men that she was picking. He's someone who has said that, you know, I've got a big ego, you know, looks matter a lot to me. He basically asked her to describe herself,
You know what I'm saying? And that turned her off a bit, right? Yeah, she was not there for that. She was genuinely looking to fall in love with someone's personality. And so that rubbed her the wrong way. And it seemed like Matthew was saying all the right things, but we find out Matthew was saying all the right things to someone else too. He was saying the exact same things to Amber, I think her name was, where he was like, you know, if I could just run away with you right now, I would. And you know, I want to ask your dad for your hand before, you know, I actually propose, giving her the same script that he was giving AD. That, and I was like, bro, I was low key rooting for you, but yeah. But once a psycho, always a psycho, right? But right? And then, and then his little speech right where he was like, I know America's rooting for me. America loves an underdog. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
That's some nigga. What's old boy from The Boys? You know what I mean?
A Homelander.
Like home. That's all. That's some. Yeah, that come. His eyes was finna turn red. I don't fuck with him. You know,
Mina said he reminded of her of Darren Rovell, and I was like, yeah, spot the fuck. Oh, that is perfect.
Yes. All he sees is numbers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly that. So yeah.
How do you feel about Clay though? How do you feel about Clay? I wonder how do you feel about that, man?
We'll touch on how exactly I feel about him, because we're gonna do at the end of this, we're gonna do who we think is going to actually say the I do's. And I'll dive a little deeper on that.
I personally feel like Clay, not get too far into, but I feel like he needs to grow up a little bit. He deserves a man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's necessarily there yet. You feel what I'm saying?
I will say.
And that might be because I'm looking at her. Right. She deserves a real man. You know what I mean?
All those yams. But, you deserve a man, not a boy for those
yams. Yams deserve a man. You know what I mean? Two hands for safety, nigga. Yeah. His hands ain't big enough. You feel me?
Bro,
that's why.
Bro, but I loved the moment when Clay and AD were kind of having a bit of a fallout where it seemed like they were starting to go their own separate ways. And AD was like, you know, I'm having a really good connection with Matthew. And bro was like, Matthew? He's like, right. Oh, you see that dude? You're going to be so regretful. Like, he just flat out hated on that man in that moment. And I was like, I mean, I guess all is fair. You don't know that dude, but I don't know. That just seemed like a bit of a character flaw, a bit to me there.
Yeah. So. Maybe he's a real yearner. Maybe that's the Joe in him. You know what I mean?
The 1990s we'll R&B in him, right?
We'll see.
Right. Okay, but, you know, going back to you know, Matthew.
This notebook. I love it.
You should have worn your spectacles, nigga.
Yeah, no, we need it on a board behind you. We need you with a pointer, like slapping it. Like, and now we're going to talk about EpiPen.
Nigga, you need to buy a monocle next time and just.
That's what I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Where you?
Hell yeah. I need to get that motherfucking green tax person sunblock and shit. But I want to say this. Throughout the seasons of Love Is Blind, I don't think we've seen race addressed as much as it was during this season.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, you know, of course there have been interracial couples that have paired up, but I have just not seen it discussed in this way, because there was a moment with AD and Matthew where, mm-hmm. you know, AD was like, you know, are you fine with me being black? You basically know I'm black. I know you're white. You know, are you fine mm-hmm. with that? And, you know, they had a very real conversation about that, because we've had people on in the past. There was a dude named Kwame a few seasons back who basically said,
white guy or black guy?
Black. Come on, Kwame.
Basically, I'm just being sarcastic. Yeah.
Basically, and he was basically like, I'm here for a white woman in more or less words, because he was like, you know, I want someone who will look past my skin color. Like,
does that even
fuck? Right? And for one, your name is Kwame. They're going to know you're black as soon as they talk to you, right? But good for him. Good for him. He got his white queen. He's actually,
Fuck him, bro. Fuck him.
You know, so.
Fuck, nigga.
But like I said, it's it's been addressed this season. Like, I haven't quite seen it been addressed in prior seasons, which brings us to our next couple, Kenneth and Brittany, which is, you know, A Fallen and JG and White Girl. Like I said, I call her White Girl because that plays a big part in their story. Basically, they're two Bible thumpers, right? Both are very, very religious. Kenneth is
going to
like
wait till marriage to fuck.
Yeah, going to wait till marriage to fuck and all that. And Kenneth is like a 26-year-old middle school principal. Like, if you're a 26-year-old principal, you have been walking the straight and narrow your whole damn life. How the fuck did you become a 26-year-old principal, right?
Political game, too, is hard to navigate to be a principal as well. So,
yeah. So, you know, Kenneth and Brittany, Bible thumpers.
Hold up. So he's going to go to work next year and every middle school student on his campus is going to know he's a virgin, bro?
Well, I didn't quite think of that wrinkle.
That is Mike. Wow, that's what, hey, what that's value good. Mike is bringing to this pod.
That hey, bro, hey, bro. Hey, holy that shit. Is going to be chaos. Those kids have probably a group chat with 1,500 kids in it right now watching that episode, bro.
Yes, and there aren't too many.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say there aren't too many worse things you could be in middle school than a virgin. Like, we were lying about not being virgin in middle school, dog.
I lost my virginity in fourth grade. According to middle school self.
According to you in sixth grade. Right,
right. Right.
To that girl who went to the other school on the other side of the city, right, of course, who you can't verify with. But
Right.
Middle school is 1,000 people doing the Steve Carell 40-year-old virgin, her breasts felt like sandbags routine.
Right. He gonna try to tell somebody what to do, bitch. You can't tell me shit, nigga. The fuck? They gonna let them know what time it is, for sure.
Okay, so other couple, Johnny and Amy, MLB face and Latina girl, boring, but boring is good for them because I think they're great for each other, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He looks like every MLB player ever, dog.
He looks like a shortstop. He's like a shortstop for sure, bro.
He has resting report for string training face.
Yeah, if you were like, that's Dansby Swanson, I would be like, yeah, of course that's Dansby Swanson.
I don't know who Dansby Swanson is, though, but yeah.
He was a shortstop.
He got a Dansby.
I just know his name because his name is really weird, and he was the number one overall shortstop pick a few years ago.
Shortstop, second baseman, for sure. Yes, got it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to segue to the Dominican Republic, where they had the little honeymoon stage. And the couple that we're going to lead off here, who we haven't discussed yet, is Jeremy and Laura. Jeremy was the jokester dude, and Laura was the bean dip titty slap girl, right?
I fuck with her too, though. She kind of fun.
I don't know. I didn't like how she greenlit AD a bit, but
I didn't like that.
I mean, yeah, gaslit.
Her interactions with her homegirls. She seemed kind of fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Jeremy and Laura, it's just, they've got a unique dynamic because I feel like Laura's like, I don't know about this fucking guy.
Right,
you know what
I'm saying?
Right? Like, I feel like Jeremy is the living embodiment of how it's so easy to go from you're so funny to everything's a damn joke, right? Like, he is the living embodiment of that because he's a dude who's just cracking jokes all the fucking time. And I don't think Laura's really, you know, feeling all the jokey jokes too much. And, they had that that little get together, you know, on the beach, and they had a moment where Laura, you know, had an incident with AD where Laura told Jeremy to bean dip her, which is just like slapping her titty. And he was like, I'm not doing that. And AD took offense to it. And then, you know, Laura was like, are you being a kid? It was just a joke. I didn't like that about Laura. You know what I'm saying? If you pissed AD off,
she said it to AD.
I don't know.
I thought she said that sort of about AD, about also about the guy. But either way, Laura was like, why is everyone being such a child? Who cares? I was like, you started it, bro.
I thought
she was saying it to the white man, whatever his name is. And I thought it was like an inside joke that he shouldn't have said. That's what I came like, why are you nigga, you gonna tell homeboy's fiance that you supposed to slap her titty? Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? Would you have said that? Like, if your wife, Rather would tell me a joke that I know is between me and Rather. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I'm not going out saying, yeah, my Rather told me to slap your wife in the titty. You know what I mean? Like, and so I feel like she was like, nigga, why are you saying this? Bro, this was between me and you, you fucking child. And I thought it was
both moving, weird.
And it could very well be that. I'm not going to put it past him, brother. You know what I'm saying? But like, the thing is, like, as somebody who would tell Rather a joke and expect her to keep it between her and vice versa, you know what I'm saying, between us, I felt like, yeah, why the fuck would he go and say that? Like, the fuck are you on? That's not funny. And it's disrespectful. Of course she's going to be disrespectful. If you said she called AD a child, which I thought she was calling the white man a child, that's fucked up. You got to just, my bad. That was a joke between me and him. I was not expecting for him to say that shit. But hey, that's on me. You feel me? I really don't know this nigga. You know what I mean? I
think that's I'm marrying him next week, but I don't know the motherfucker.
Yeah, but we only know I know this man for 2 days if you keep it in the bean.
It seems like she was mostly mad at him.
And that's what I took it as. So I didn't think she greenlit him. Really, I didn't think she even really wanted him to do it because she knew he wouldn't do it. But yes, if it's what y'all believe, I agree. It's some bullshit. But yeah, I thought I saw it a different way. But go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, and keeping things with AD, who was the star of that show that night. We had a moment where Jimmy, you know, Doug Funnyface told Chelsea, Megan Faux, said in the most white boyish way, dude, AD is stacked.
She's stacked. And then she came back with like, yeah, she's built like a bookshelf. You're built like a bookshelf. That's not. You know what I mean? AD is no bookshelf, but you know what I'm saying? That's a table that you see right there, nigga. You feel me?
Yeah.
But a drink honestly, of that motherfucker.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, though. I was a bit shocked that Jimmy was a bit down with the swirl because he had a goddamn MAGA face to me. But the signs were there. Sure. The signs were there because, you know, he's only 27 years old and he dropped that Jagged Edge reference that you mm-hmm. know, meet me at the altar in your white dress line. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, you might be a bit, all right. But, you know, they had that moment and basically, you know, more big mouth shit going on. Chelsea actually tells AD. That you know, Jimmy says, you know, you got the yams. And you know, they have a moment where Jimmy and AD are talking to each other. And it kind of, you know, riles up some jealousy in Chelsea.
Insecurity.
Yeah, insecurity there. But, I don't know. That conversation was a bit flirtatious on AD's part. Did y'all pick
both
up on that
sides.
Shit?
Both sides. I'm like, it's AD? Yeah, go ahead, Jackson.
I agree with you. I thought Chelsea was also, like, freaking out a little bit, probably too much. But also, Jimmy and AD, there was some... just slight, like 5%, 15% of vibes going on. I was like, I don't
there know. Was yeah. some energy there for sure. And I'm like, is she fucking with this motherfucking Doug yeah. funny looking ass nigga? You know what I'm saying? She like Megatron yeah. head ass motherfucker.
There was some debate between Chelsea and Jimmy about whether he like spun her around, which like, I don't know if he actually did that or not, but he did like hold up her hand and like kind of like give
he did,
her a look.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, hey, bro, listen. If you sit with a chick that look like Mega Man and then AD come over here, you know what I'm saying? Nigga. hey, you feel me? I'm mad at it. You know what I mean? But dog, yeah, I there was definitely some energy there. But that makes me feel like, also I feel like when she was talking to what's homeboy, the other black dude that got a white lady, he built like a scoop ice cream. Kenneth. Yeah, Kenneth. Yeah,
Kenneth.
A
ball.
Yeah. So Kenneth, that when they were talking, it seemed like she was kind of like peeping him a little bit too. For me, there's a little bit of energy there. So I feel like that's what made me think like, I think like old boy's a little too young for her as far as it, maybe not at just age, but acting. She looking for a man, Kenneth is closer to that. And even I think Jimmy, you know what I mean? Is closer to that and how he moves, you know what I mean? Even though he can be goofy at times, but yeah.
Yeah. There was some, for sure, some flirtation energy. Like when she ended the conversation, I was like, yeah, we can do this anytime. And just batted her eyes and walked off. I was like, wait a minute. Whoa. But, you know, there was, but, you know, Chelsea did get a bit jealous, a bit insecure. She kind of, you know, took issue with that, which is understandable because, you know, like I said, you're living a lie. You're living the Megan Fox lie. And she's been asking for like affirmation the whole time. Like, do you think I'm pretty? Are you attracted to me? And they had that moment when Jimmy and Chelsea were laying in the bed. She's like, what do you like about me? And he was like, you have really like square teeth. I was like,
not too big, but not too little, but you know what I mean? Hey, this is what I do like. He was honest. He didn't lie. You feel me? So like, what is he? I mean, but he said, she's good at, you know, like he's fine with how she looks. That's what he said. And it seemed insincere. His response wasn't what I thought it was. It seemed sincere. So, but he doesn't have to lie about, you know, how he feels about that if he's just fucking worried for her.
It does.
You know, I mean, I do.
He's also going to all the other guys being like, I'm fucking stoked. I bet my relationship's better than yours is. I was like,
right.
I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't, like, I don't know. I thought he
yeah,
was like,
yeah,
seems
for
like,
sure. For sure. So I think he seems pretty sincere about how he feels. We'll see in the next future episodes. There was some shit that kind of leaned the other way. But yeah. In these episodes, he seemed very sincere. And I like the fact that he didn't lie. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I also really liked AD's line when Chelsea and Jimmy were like being weird about her. She was like, they were like, how'd you get that ass? And she goes, squats and Jesus. Like,
hey, you got to pray, nigga. Cause God crafted this motherfucker. And I just helped to, you know, you know what I mean? Clean it AD's up a little bit. You feel me?
AD's my favorite. Ain't gonna lie to y'all.
Gonna lie to you, brother.
So, yeah, so now, you know, we're basically at the stage. Next drop of episodes is going to be them actually going back to Charlotte, living together. So quick rundown of the couples, and I'm going to run them off, and we're going to, you know, both, we're going to all give our opinions on if we think they're going to make it. So first up, Chelsea and Jimmy, you know, Megan Foe and Doug Funnyface.
Anything built on lies is not a solid foundation. It's not going to happen, brother.
No chance.
Yeah, no chance at all. I'm with y'all on that.
Also, I feel like she's like, I think the insecurities are coming into play as well.
He's just too insecure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that can be an issue as well.
Yeah. And the funny shit is, I think Trevor would have loved her bookshelf body and all, bro.
Bro, I do. I was thinking if she chose Trevor, like, as he's in great shape, all of that shit, body, but he seems so genuine. I feel like he for sure would have been like, fuck all the dumb shit. He's not Jimmy in that way. Where Jimmy picked her because of Megan Fox. She didn't tell him that lie. He still wanted her. You know what I mean?
And Jimmy, with both people, with Jessica and Chelsea, was like, I thought my feelings for you were a given. Like, I didn't know I needed to say it that
He's
many
weird.
Times. Which
He's
is weird. But also, like, Chelsea is very much like, just tell me. Just say as much. Just tell me how much you love me and I'm pretty and all that, which is cool. And exactly, Trevor is the exact person to do that. Jimmy is the exact opposite person of that.
Exactly.
I think Trevor would have liked her physically as well, the way that she would need to have been liked. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, I think that's important in relationships. You know what I mean? You want a person to be attracted to you in a particular way. Maybe Jimmy couldn't tell a lie that she wanted her to tell him, but I don't think Trevor would have had to. And I think that's important to a degree.
For sure. All right, next.
We all want to feel beautiful. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm not Michael B. Jordan, but I want Riley to look at me like that. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Need
you
them words me? Of affirmation.
We need them words of affirmation. Leave it. You know what I'm saying? But go ahead.
All right. So next up is Jeremy and Laura. That's the jokester and the bean dip titty slapper.
Gonna be a no for me, dog. Yeah.
Nah, it's over with. It's already over with.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah. Like the energy just shifted so much. Laura does not seem entertained by that dude at all anymore. I think.
Also, I feel like she messes with black dudes. I kind of feel that. I kind of get that vibe.
You got that vibe?
I kind of get that vibe. I think she leans that way. You know what I mean? But who doesn't mess with niggas?
Okay. Next up, we've got Johnny, MLB Face, and Amy. They're perfect for each other, and which makes them so boring here. Yeah.
So boring and so perfect. Love love that for them.
Delightful. Yes.
All right. And then we've got Clay and AD. I don't think they're going to work. I don't think that's working.
I think she's too mature. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Clay had that speech where he was like, I've got a big ego. I need that stroke all the time. That's not something that sounds like something a one-woman man would say. I think he's someone who is not ready for marriage. I think he's someone who needs a rotation probably to feel, you know, a bit fulfilled. And someone who used to be out here with a rotation, that shit ain't fulfilling, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be out here trying to get a new number, a new girl, and that hole is just never going to be sealed, bro. But, you know, sometimes you got to learn the hard way.
It's the closest I think I've ever been to like drug addiction, where like you're just chasing a high. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find that high, you know what I'm saying, with a rotation. It's just not where you, it's not fulfilling. There's no purpose in that shit. You feel me? And so, but I think he has to learn that. I think he has to sit at home and feel empty. Like, damn, this shit whack. Also, I just feel like, you know, I think she wants more out of somebody. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's there. I told y'all how I was dating a motherfucker. I had no business dating with because he was in Colorado. And she was just way too grown for me. I had none of that. You feel me? There was no way it was going to last. You feel me? She was 10 rungs higher than I got to at that point. You feel me? And I think that's where AD is at. You know?
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's like, it was a tough timing situation for her where like she finds out that Matthew kind of sucks right as Clay is like, I'm growing up a little bit. And then okay, if that guy really sucked and you're better than that guy, then like, all right, I guess this kind of works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm a big kid now. No, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, if you got to say you're a big kid, you're like, not
you
a
called
big
me
kid,
out one time, so in four days, I've completely grown up.
You're a Toys R Us kid, brother.
All right. And they had that conversation that was a bit concerning for me where you know, Clay was talking about how much he loved AD's body. Hey, we get it, bro. But AD had a very real moment with him and was like, you know, what happens if I lose this body? What happens if I have kids? I put on some pounds or whatever. You know, how would you go about that? He was like, I'll tell you, get your ass in the gym. I'm not over exaggerating. That's exactly what he said.
I don't remember that shit. I was fast forwarding certain parts. See, yeah, that's bullshit.
His words were flat out said, your ass in the gym.
Yeah. 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 And then she's like, that's not the way to go about it. And he was like, but I'd yell it though. But like, I'd say, like, get your ass in the gym. He did not see how fucked up what he was saying was, bro.
He's really a child, bro. That is ignorant.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's kind of her word. She goes, that's mean. That's just mean.
Yes, yeah.
And he goes, out. You're right. That was a little mean. I'll be nicer about it, but I am going to tell you that.
Yeah,
he was like, worry, brother.
he was like, aren't all personal trainers mean? You ever had a nice personal trainer? I was like, dude just kept digging himself deeper.
I ain't rooting for all black people, man. Gotta be honest. I'm not rooting for that nigga.
That's insane defense. Like, well, this is the job that I have, so that's how I am all the time to everyone, including my wife.
And even in that job, that doesn't necessarily work. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Crazy.
Yeah. All right. And the last couple is Kenneth and Brittany. That's A-Ball and JG and White Girl. Where y'all at with them?
I think they do seem kind of like a good fit. It's like very churchy, both them. They're both young. They're like both 25 or 26 or under.
Yeah.
But I think the race thing sort of becomes too. Mm-hmm. I think there was a little bit of editing foreshadowing with the way when AD was talking to him about it. Like, you think she's gonna be okay with having a black kid, whatever.
For sure.
And so I think that once the more like in person time they spend, it kind of just doesn't work.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, as somebody with Rather's Indian, I'd be looking like, dog, you know, you're ready. And she spoke to it in a particular way. She was like, yo, there's certain understanding that you have to have going into it. You know what I mean? And we had discussed that, but I didn't never thought about that looking at other couples. You feel me? And that's a great point is when AD talked about that, like that you have to have a particular understanding going into it. There's some things that, you know, like Rather spoke into it this way, where she might not want to talk to you about it, John. She might want to talk to me, and I got to be able to speak to that to a degree. You feel what I'm saying? And I never thought, like, damn, so Rather understood it on a particular level, which made it more comfortable. But yeah, like, is she going to be comfortable with having some particular conversations? I wonder. But also, I feel like, you know, he's talking about he never dated a black woman, I mean, a white woman before, or he's not dated someone that wasn't black and all that. And I don't know. I mean, it could work. You know what I'm saying? That was my situation. You feel me? But I don't know. I don't know if she's built for that. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the conversation that he had with AD, when, you know, like I said, this season has tackled, you know, race and mixed race couples quite like we've never seen before. And, you know, him and AD had a very real conversation where AD was like, you know, do you think that she's equipped to help raise a black child? And, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, those are conversations that we're going to have. You know, he handled it in a real way. Because, you know, like I mentioned, there was that other guy, Kwame, who you just flat out said he was there for white women. When he had that conversation with AD, I saw the real nigga hop out of Kenneth a bit there, right? I was like, he's not a dude who's out here, you know, necessarily chasing white women. Because I'm a bit skeptical. I'm a bit skeptical of black guys who chase white women. Like, is that really a preference or is it rooted in self-hate or some shit, right? Like, you always got to kind of
chase a white woman, yes. But he said he never dated a white woman before.
Exactly.
So he didn't come here for that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, yeah. And going to, you know, what Jackson said about how they kind of foreshadow in the previews where Brittany was telling him, you know, ever since we got back home, you've been a bit detached. What's going on? So I'm thinking he's probably second guess, like, I don't think I want a white wife. You know,
also the thing too is she said he identifies as black and identifies as black.
I couldn't believe when he said that.
Yeah. No, she said that.
I said, identifies.
She said it. Yeah, so she said he identifies as black, and I'm like, identify as black. That's like, you don't under. That makes me think she doesn't understand anything about this dynamic.
He is black. He's not. I know. Yeah, like
that's some racial Dozell shit. I'm talking to Rather. I'm like, identifies. We're both confused as fuck on it. You know what I mean? Like, that was odd. So that made me feel like. And also, she talked about family, and I was like, was there a family? So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, those are all the couples there. So, you know, being that this is the kind of relationship themed episode, we have some relationship advice that is being solicited from us from one of our listeners. They shot us an email. They said they want to keep this mostly anonymous. But first of all, I'm a huge fan of y'all. I got a kind of embarrassing question, but I really look up to you three as well-versed adults and mature dudes who I can model myself after. Oh, that's so sweet. Question. Do y'all ever feel insecure in your marriage? I think my partner has an attractive new coworker that she works with and has to interact with a lot throughout the week. And I was wondering how y'all would personally deal with that, or if you would feel any type of jealousy and compare yourselves look wise or anything like that. Thanks. Laughing my ass off. No problem if this question never gets read either. Peace and love. Okay. I'll say this. This, I feel like this is why it's so important to just be so open with who you're with. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if my wife was in a situation like this, you know, joking is kind of what I lean on. So that would be my first, you know, kind of way I address it. I'm like, hey, that motherfucker handsome as hell. Ain't gonna be no working overtime with this dude. You know, I just a little jokey joke like that, right?
Yeah.
And but I would never be concerned about her, you know, stepping out on me. Because you know, I'm just of the belief that, you know, being married, we have chosen each other, right? We know that. Listen, I know I'm not the most handsome motherfucker in the world. Like, I know it's way better looking dudes out here than me. Listen, I know, like I just don't think you can be concerned with other dudes when you're in a relationship. She chose you, bro. You know what I'm saying? That counts for a lot. Granted, motherfuckers do step out, yes, but you cannot just be out here consumed with the possibility of that happening. You know what I'm saying? You have to just live with the fact that, you know, she chose you and you are her choice, and that's who she chose to be with. And just, you know, keep it moving from there. I'm not at all saying that, you know, a bit of insecurity, a bit of jealousy, whatever, is not something natural to feel. Of course. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you'll probably feel that if you know your wife's going to be working with a good looking motherfucker. But, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I just don't think it's something that you can let consume you, something that you can let, you know, kind of dictate your thought process or how you treat your wife. You know, just have an honest conversation with her and be like, hey, this motherfucker's handsome as hell. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a bit insecure. You know, are we good? Because if you want to step out of the motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? That's how I would approach it, because that's kind of me and my wife's dynamic, where we're, you know, even when we're talking about serious things, we do it lightheartedly. You feel me? So, you know, that would be my advice to him, bro. Like, just keep in mind that she chose you, you know?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, first of all, I think everything Tyler just said is right. Like, all relationships, you're walking by faith to some extent. Right. Like, you have put your mental well-being and willingness to exist in the world in someone else's hands to some extent. So like, if you're a real yearner, like I am, right. Like you've given that over. And so every day, like, you know, is it attractive to work? Sure, man. Like, there's attractive people everywhere. Like, that is just like, that's life. And so for me, my perspective on it would be, Shar and I, my wife and I have been together since we were 18. We were together through a long distance, where she was in LA and I was in Long Beach for 4 years in college. We've lived together since then, but yeah, man, like, we've been through every stage of growing up that you go through in your life. That is all in the one relationship with me. So when we were in college, I was insecure as fuck, for sure. Like, I was with a really good looking, brilliant woman who was 30 miles away from me on a college campus. Like, so I was insecure as fuck about it, especially the first couple of years, you know? And so it's exactly what I know John's answer will be and what Tyler said too. The key for everything in a relationship is honesty and communication. And it's important that you're communicating honestly. Like, you don't necessarily want to just drop the weight of your insecurity on your partner. But I think communicating honestly that you're insecure about it, and then working on yourself to get to yourself to the point where you can be, you know, that's the other key to me, because that was kind of what it came to with me and Shar. Is it's like, I don't really want to hear about you being insecure all the time. It's like, that's super fair. Like, yeah, that's super fair. Like, and she shouldn't be thinking about that while she's living her life, right? Like, that's my life to deal with. But I would just say, like, number one, and I always say this when anyone has any feelings about the relationship, it totally makes sense and is understandable and okay to be insecure about that. Like, that's just, that is part of, like, growth and developing trust in yourself and in your relationship. Whether you're with a man or a woman or, like, whoever you're with, you have to build that trust. And so, you know, don't pretend that you don't feel insecure. Don't say, oh, I shouldn't feel this way, so therefore I'm going to pretend I don't. But also, don't expect your partner to, like, what Tyler was saying is, if his wife comes home, he's not going to make that same joke every day. Right. Like, exactly. He's going to put that first card on the table and then sort of grow and move past it. You know what
I'm
I mean?
Not so that's Jeremy my- this shit. You feel me?
I feel like we all feel insecurity, so don't feel uncomfortable about that. There's nothing weird about being insecure. You know what I'm saying? We all have our own insecurities. I think there has to be lines of communication open where you can speak to that, right? But understanding you feel insecure because of you, not because of her. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, so, like, it's not for her to change anything she's doing. It's for you to work on self so you don't feel insecure. You know what I mean? Because, so, like, I mean, I would hope that you're with a woman, like, you know, that you're married to a woman that you trust and believe would be faithful. So, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, so insecurities come from within. So yeah, I that's what I would say, is just say, you know, be open. There has to be lines of communication open. Like, you know, me and Rather will speak to certain things that we have. And also, like, you know, we're very like, and she's my favorite fucking person in the world, but we come from very different worlds. You know what I mean? So navigating that can be uncomfortable. And there has to be space to talk to that. You feel me? And so, like, yeah, there should be room for you to say, hey, I'm insecure about this. This is not on you, though. It's on me. So you don't take things out on her because of your feelings. You know what I mean? So, there's nothing wrong with being insecure. The issue comes when you're taking that out on your partner because of your own feelings. So, you know, it's your work to do, but there should also be space to speak to that. So then there's nothing wrong with being insecure. And start now, because there'll be other moments when there's insecurities. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, being open about these things are important, and having the room to be open about these things are important. So it's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, how you move with that, with and having those feelings is where, you know, things can go the right way or another way. So
the only other point I would make, we talk about managing the relationship with your partner, but you know, you have to manage it with yourself too. I don't wake up worried that, my wife is going to cheat on me at all. But I know, like, I was worried about it for long enough that, like, I don't, like whenever I see a thread of people getting all jokey about that shit, I don't read that, bro, because that is triggering for me to, like, because I was worried about it at a time in my life. I don't, it's not funny to me. So I just move past that shit because I don't want to go back to those feelings or feel that way. You know what I mean? So I think that's the other part of it is, do understand what you're managing is your relationship with your own insecurity first.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so if you're doing stuff or you're thinking about things, you're intentionally putting yourself in a position where you're worried about it, you're just going to make it harder on your actual relationship with another person as well.
One thing I realized is the way I felt that it repeated throughout relationships. You know what I mean? Like, as I was... But like, damn.
Because you were the same person. Because the record is turning in the same way. Right.
It wasn't the other person. It was me. And when I grew and became more comfortable with myself, understood myself more, that's when things changed. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I would guess, and it'd probably be a good guess to say, that even if it wasn't her and when you were married to somebody else, you'd feel the same way because it's not her. It's you. And the work is to be done within. But yeah, don't feel uncomfortable about that. There's nothing embarrassing about that. You know, it's extremely normal, you know, but just focus on self when you're going to what to be changed. She shouldn't change her or how she moves because you feel a particular way because, you know, that's your feelings and that you're responsible for those. So.
Yep. So basically, in summation, it's perfectly fine to be insecure. That's normal. You just have to process that in a healthy way. Communicate this with your wife, but realize that the work is yours to do on yourself. Do not guilt trip it or pile it on her. It's basically.
Period. Yep.
All right. So that was a good fucking episode.
That was some good. Yeah. Nice little balance, a little bookend of some real shit, some bullshit up front. Ziggy Jones, my nigga. You feel me? Here we are.
We'll be back later this week with our regular episode. This is, if you're timing up your Jenkins and Jones episode, this is sort of the normal Saturday episode. So we will be back with the midweek episode. And then we'll be back on Monday, as always. And stay tuned for, like I said, as the next episodes come out, we're going to have Mina on sometime soon. And we'll be continuing the Love is Blind recaps. And I can't wait to see how filled up Tyler can get that notebook over the next couple of weeks. Buddy. It's going to be great.
Is that college rule or right wide rule? Is it college rule or right wide rule?
Who the fuck are you doing? You think this man, the voice of a generation, is writing on some elementary school fucking big bubbly notebooks,
writing.
Bro.
He has bubbly writing, so I thought he might need space for that. You know what I'm saying? As a bubbly writer, I use college rule, but as a bubbly writer, I can understand that. Anyway, all right. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.